and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast brought to you today by Upstart. More on that later, but what we're going to get right into right now is the state of the Republican Party in this insane political moment that we are in. And I think it's just fair to say straight up that there are some Republicans in Washington who wish Inauguration Day were today or tomorrow or yesterday. They supported President Trump. They appreciated his significant accomplishments, but now they are more than ready to move on from what has become a disastrous end to the Trump presidency. The fact is, though the president's term lasts for several more days, until January 20th, those days could be deeply troubling for the Republican Party. Now, on Sunday night, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that Democrats are going to move forward and impeach the president a second time. I'll read you what she said, quote, "We will act with urgency because this president represents an imminent threat to both the Constitution and U.S. democracy." Now, she said that in a letter to colleagues. Now, you do have to wonder how imminent the threat is if Democrats are waiting a week to pass impeachment articles when they could have, if they're going to do it fast, they could do it really, really fast. Andy McCarthy pointed out that if the point of impeachment is that President Trump is so dangerous that he cannot remain president for another minute, why did all of the Democrats go home, hang out in their home districts for a while, and then come back and then pass impeachment, if they do, on Wednesday, a week after those terrible, terrible riots on Capitol Hill? But anyway, that's what Pelosi said. Now, House Republicans have a conference call scheduled soon, and that's the way the leaders of the Republican Party in the House can gauge the mood of a wide variety of Republican lawmakers. So right now, though, it appears that the great majority, and I mean the great majority, believe that as awful as the events of last week were, the president did not commit an impeachable offense. Now, maybe some of them are not actually so sure about that, but they believe that whatever Trump's conduct, it's unrealistic to try to impeach him in the course of a few days when the president is literally on his way out the door. I mean, they might pass this impeachment, these impeachment articles, on Wednesday, January 13th, when Inauguration Day is Wednesday, January 20th. Now, a very small number of them might support impeachment. All we know of right now is Representative Adam Kinzinger, who made it pretty clear that he supports it, although even he said that impeachment was not a great idea. And then there's a group that believes that whatever the case, impeaching a president in such a quickie way, I think Jonathan Turley calls it a snap impeachment, would set a terrible precedent for the future. So one Republican lawmaker says to me, quote, "I don't see any real support on our side for it." And that certainly seems to be the case. He mentioned Adam Kinzinger. And actually, when Kinzinger went on a Sunday show, he said impeachment is, quote, probably not the smartest move right now. So this Republican lawmaker talking to me continued, he said, "I think most people recognize impeachment is futile. The Senate doesn't go into session until January 19th. It's more Pelosi just one more time trying to poke everybody's eye, another political stunt to tie Trump around our whole party one more time." Now, he was pointing out that the Senate is not in session until January 19th, so they could conduct maybe a one-hour trial of the president and get it all over by January 20th when President-elect Biden will be inaugurated. I mean, this is just crazy as a schedule. So what we saw was a high-ranking Democrat, James Clyburn, number three ranking Democrat in the House, float a trial balloon on Sunday in which he said the House might impeach the president this week and then hold on to the articles. Does that sound familiar? Nancy Pelosi did that the last time around. Hold on to the articles, not send them to the Senate for trial until after Joe Biden is inaugurated, and he has a chance to enact his 100 days agenda. So you wait the 100 days, and then you send the impeachment articles to the Senate for trial. Now, of course, by that time, President Trump is former President Trump, and he's been that way for more than 3 months. And then the Senate is supposed to have a trial on these impeachment articles that were passed in the second week of January. It's totally unprecedented in American history. It has not happened before in American history. But that's apparently what what Democrats are thinking. I mean, there's some question about whether it is constitutionally permissible. Obviously, the removal from office by impeachment specified in the Constitution is irrelevant at that point, completely moot because Trump is the former president. But there another punishment is whether to disqualify Trump from ever holding public office again, and apparently that's what Democrats would want to do by having an impeachment trial more than 3 months after the president has left office. Now, Republicans are experiencing all sorts of conflicting emotions about all this. One of them said to me, this is a different lawmaker, there are so many thoughts going through my head, and I think we all probably know how he feels. Republicans were as shocked as anybody by the sight of Trump supporters storming the Capitol and by the violence and loss of life that ensued. And they also know it would not have happened had not President Trump relentlessly pushed this idea that the election was stolen and then scheduled and promoted a Stop the Steal rally on the Ellipse, from which some supporters moved from the rally down to the Capitol and took part in the violence. And of course, a majority of Republicans in the House supported the effort to challenge the ratification of the Electoral College results, which was Congress's business on January 6th before the attack happened. So this first lawmaker I mentioned to you said to me, quote, there's a lot of anger out there, meaning anger among Republican members. There's a lot of anger out there, anger about what happened, introspection about the president's role, and where we go as a party. And some members were stunned and they were distressed by the behavior of their own supporters. Now, a third Republican, I talked to a bunch of Republicans for this, a third Republican said 99% of the people who entered the Capitol that day were Trump people. They were foolish, just totally foolish. Now, this member actually also found fault with the president, quote, telling people that we in Congress are going to overturn the election on January 6th was definitely dishonest. And throwing Vice President Pence under the bus was not good. He should never have gone down that road. Now, those are the things that some Republicans are unhappy about. But they do not blame the president for, quote, incitement into what happened. A third lawmaker says to me, I don't blame anybody but the person who commits violence. It's not like the president spoke and people then ran out and made Molotov cocktails or pipe bombs. They came with them. I don't think I should ever be able to say that I committed this or that act of violence because somebody said something. I think people should be personally responsible for their actions. Now, some Democrats, let's go to back to the Republican lawmakers. Some lawmakers, while they're condemning the attacks at the Capitol, also accused Democrats of being soft on all of the violent riots that took place around the country last summer. Quote, when a parent keeps saying something is okay, the other kids think it's okay, one of them said. Nancy Pelosi never condemned those riots, and hypocrisy is the problem. Another one said the bad part is the Trump people just assume nobody's getting prosecuted, so why can't I breach the Capitol? That was a terrible but perhaps understandable way of thinking. And after we come back, I want to talk about this issue of what happens now. And we're going to talk about that right after we hear a little bit about Upstart. Your credit card, you all know what it is. It's that little plastic thing that can get you in trouble. And sometimes we use it too much and run up too much debt. Sometimes people do that because they've acted irresponsibly, but sometimes they do it because of circumstances they just can't control. And they have too much money, too many expenses, too much money owed, and they have to do something about it. And one thing that people do is they consolidate all of their various credit card debts into one loan. And one way to do that is Upstart. It is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off all of your debt all online. Paying off credit cards, other debts, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple, fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and can receive funds as quickly as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, and sometimes it does, it's time to get a fresh start from Upstart. So find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Byron. That's upstart.com/Byron. And Byron, by the way, is B-Y-R-O-N. It's not Brian. It's not Bryson. It's Byron, B-Y-R-O-N. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Now, loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Byron. Okay, we're back. Now, beyond attributing blame, the more immediate question for Republicans is what to do this week. Now, just as in 2019, when Pelosi pushed impeachment through the House, minority Republicans have no power at all to do anything. They can't stop it. Given the workings of the House, the Democrats, if they choose, will be able to skip all of the procedures that you once thought were an integral part of the impeachment process. There's a vote to proceed with an inquiry and a committee probe of the president's conduct and the opportunity for the president to defend himself and a debate over the proper way to proceed. All of that stuff. They can just throw that out the window. Just throw it out. So Democrats are racing to impeach before his term expires, and they can just dispense with nearly all of that. They can pass a rule creating a new procedure and then pass an article of impeachment, articles of impeachment, whatever they want, whenever they want. Now, in the first Trump impeachment, and by the way, you can read about this in my book, Obsession, which really does track the long effort to remove President Trump from office from before he became president all the way through the first impeachment and the end of the first impeachment. At the time, we didn't call it the first impeachment. We just thought it was the impeachment. But in this first Trump impeachment, Republican leadership took pride in the fact that no Republicans voted to accuse the president. They did not vote to impeach the president. This was not an accident. Party leaders kept careful track of each member's concerns. They wanted to find out what every member was concerned about. Do you have doubts about this? Do you need to know more about that? They helped answer any questions. They enlisted Republican members who were actually taking part in the impeachment hearings to brief other members who were locked out of the whole process. And the strongest glue that kept Republicans together was the belief, which they all shared, that the democratic process was unfair. Now, Republican officials acknowledge they will not have that 100% loyalty. In addition to Kinzinger, we talked about Kinzinger, one GOP aide told me, I wouldn't be shocked if there were a few. I don't think we can get a goose egg again, so they're not going to get a goose egg. But it does appear for the moment that the number of Republicans supporting impeachment will be very, very, very low. Now, in the first impeachment, the unfairness argument was so effective with Republicans because, first, the impeachment process really was unfair. And the second, it was a way of uniting Republican lawyers against an effort to cripple their party. Everybody knew what was going on. Now, it's not clear that Republicans will have any unifying theme like that. The argument you hear most of all is that another impeachment would be, quote, divisive. One of the lawmakers said, all the members I've heard from think this is a very divisive idea. Pelosi's latest impeachment push, just like her last one, is certain to divide the American people, said another member. Now, beyond that, Republicans are going to have to mount some sort of substantive defense of the president. And it's pretty clear where that's going to come from. The Democrats' current draft of an impeachment article is entitled, quote, incitement of insurrection. And it charges that the president, and I'm going to quote here, quote, willfully made statements that encouraged and foreseeably resulted in imminent lawless action at the Capitol. Incited by President Trump, a mob unlawfully breached the Capitol, injured law enforcement personnel, menaced members of Congress and the vice president, interfered with the joint session's solemn constitutional duty to certify the election results, and engage in violent, deadly, destructive, and seditious acts. All right. That's what Trump is accused of inciting. Now, Republicans are going to make a careful reading of Trump's speech at the Stop the Steal rally. I would recommend that you all read it because I think the specific words the president used are going to become the subject of much debate. Now, Trump did, in fact, urge attendees to march to the Capitol. And he said they should, quote, peacefully and patriotically, end quote, make their voices heard. Now, is that incitement of insurrection? I'm going to quote Jonathan Turley, the George Washington University law professor. He said on Fox, quote, the speech itself does not give a clear basis for the charges of insurrection or incitement. The president talks about his followers marching on Congress peacefully. He does not call for riots. He does not call for violence. Now, Democrats are undoubtedly going to argue that in the bigger picture, okay, just don't look specifically or only at the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th, but look at the bigger picture. Trump whipped up his supporters for 2 months over the charge that the election was stolen, and that is true. He did that. But the article of impeachment alleges a specific link between the president's speech on Wednesday at the Ellipse and the attack at the Capitol. Now remember, it said that the president willfully made statements that encouraged and foreseeably resulted in imminent lawless action at the Capitol. So in other words, the Democratic article of impeachment is Trump speech violence. And that's just not the way it worked. Obviously, a lot of people, some people came to Washington prepared to engage in violence. Some of them brought weapons, some bombs, all sorts of things. Some of them appeared to be ready to engage in violence. We've also had reports that some of those people were at the Capitol preparing the whole time that Trump was giving his speech at the Ellipse. So they didn't hear his speech. They were not incited by his speech to run down Pennsylvania Avenue to the Capitol to do violence. So it's going to be a very hard argument for Democrats to make. But they're going to do it, I guess. Now, the wild card in all this is what the president himself will do in his final days in office. A lot of Republicans were delighted up here to hear that he plans to travel to the U.S.-Mexico border on Tuesday to Alamo, Texas. Not the Alamo in San Antonio, but Alamo, Texas, to highlight his achievements in the area of immigration. So another Republican said to me, this is another member of Congress, quote, I would like to see him with the time he has left. Thank America for the opportunities he had and talk about all the things that he accomplished. The list is pretty long. Indeed, it is. And Republicans would love to see the president do a long victory farewell, taking each day to highlight his accomplishments in some different area and then leaving office. We'll see if he does that. I asked the lawmaker, I said, well, do you think Trump is going to stay focused on that? And he said, well, have you ever felt like you were able to predict what he does? And the answer, of course, was no. So, what's interesting is here, for all the dark forebodings we're hearing from Democrats about how the president is an imminent threat who must be removed immediately. A lot of these Republicans fundamentally do not have this dark sense of things. Yet another congressman said to me, "I hope everyone will take this time to take a deep breath. I fully expect there will be a smooth transition of power on January 20th. So I think we can end by saying we all hope he is right, and we all hope that comes to pass. And then beyond that, we will have to see what impeachment surprises Democrats have in store beyond that. So that's the story for today. Thanks very much for joining us, and I hope you'll join us soon again for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Ricochet. Join the conversation.